Straight Roots Radio is a collaboration between X-Ray FM and local publication Straight Roots. Straight Roots is a nonprofit organization in Portland, Oregon that creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by producing a newspaper and other media that are catalysts for individual and social change. I have here with me Straight Roots correspondent Jake Thomas, here to talk about his recent article, Out of Sight. Critics question whether Mayor Wilson's homelessness plan just moves people around while shelter beds remain empty. Thanks for being here, Jake.
Of course.
Can you tell me a little bit about the mayor's current plan for ending unsheltered homelessness?
Right. So December 1st was a big milestone day in the mayor's plan. Keith Wilson was elected last year with a pretty overwhelming portion of the vote. I think it was something like 2/3. And one of his key pledges was he was going to end unsheltered homelessness in the city of Portland, which has been a persistent problem. And a key to that was just getting more shelter beds. He was just going to stand up a lot of shelter beds really quickly. And that was a key part to just giving people an option. Instead of sleeping on the streets, they could go to these shelter beds. His goal, was to create 1,500 of these beds by December 1st. And his office put out a press release on that day. They kind of downplayed that they didn't quite meet that goal. They had set up 890 beds, which is still a lot. But they did not, and they had plans to bring the remainder of those beds online later this, in the next year. And I think when one of them is supposed to open later this month. So they're coming. Interestingly, the mayor has said that some of these beds need to remain open. So that just like, if they're full, the plan fails is essentially what he says. And the reason to keep some of them empty is because then that gives, then the city can enforce its ban on camping or basically setting up camps or tents or other structures on public property. So you can't really enforce that unless you have something to offer to people. So you can't just say, pack up your tent, get out of here, or we're going to cite you if they don't have somewhere to go. So if you have enough of these shelter beds, you have a considerable number of these open at any given time, then you can say, pack it up, go to the shelter. This is what we're offering you.
Right. So what are some of the unhoused folks' experiences of the shelter beds and some of the feelings towards shelter beds?
Well, I tried to visit some of these shelters. There's currently 6 of them that have been set up. A 7th is on its way. And the city has also created some other shelters, has also worked with the county and to add some beds in other shelters like Bybee Lakes. They added some beds there. But really at the heart of it is these six overnight shelters. I tried to visit them. I wanted to go see them. But all these shelters are operated by private nonprofits that work with a contract for the city. None of them let me go visit. So I haven't seen them. I spoke to a couple people, it was in November, the day before Thanksgiving. They were at Street Books. They were there to get some supplies from Street Books, which gives out more than books. They give out wipes and there's various items that people need. And so they were there, and they just described one person I talked to said just being in one of these shelters is just, it's like being in high school. It sounds like there's a lot of rules, a lot of they're enforced arbitrarily, just kind of like who they like and who they don't like at the shelter. And I've heard that from other people too, is that they sound like pretty punitive environments where you just don't have a lot of control over your life. You might have too much stuff. If you have a pet, you can't bring your pet. That they're just not, that a lot of people just have just really bad experiences being in these shelters. And I think if you look at the data on the city shelters, these new ones that the mayor has stood up, a lot of them have stood empty for months. Not empty, sorry. So if you look at the data for some of these for the shelters. I think three out of six of them, they had multiple months where half of them were empty. And the mayor would say that that's on, you know, that's deliberate. You want to have some empty shelter beds at any given time. And they have it set up so that they can quickly add more beds if they needed to, if we had like inclement weather or something like that. And in fairness to the city, they point out that one of those shelters was, they added beds. It was about 50 beds. They added another 50 beds. And so if you do the math, they have like a bigger denominator. And so about the same number of people. So it looks like the utilization of the bed is worse. And it is, but it's not, you're not actually seeing a reduction in people. So that's important to note. And overall, if you look at the overall number of people using these shelters, it has gone up since the beginning of the year, particularly since around July. You really started to see more and more people start to go to these. And the city says that just word needs to get out that these are an option, that these are places to go. And so there, more people are using them, even though there are issues with utilization. And so what's also notable about these shelters is that it's not like other shelters where they're 24/7 and you have like a spot and you have, you just kind of have like a space where you can kind of set it up as like your home base. Like you can leave your stuff there and you can be there during the day and maybe connect to social workers. With these shelters, a lot of them, you get there in the evening and then they want you to leave pretty early in the morning, like 6 or 7. And they don't have storage to keep your stuff. So you have to maybe lug your stuff to the shelter, get up early, leave, and then, lug your stuff around. Or the city does have a storage, where people can leave their stuff, and there are day centers. But that has been described to me as a downside of these shelters, is that they're not 24/7 and it just requires people to be constantly moving around. And that's the reason why they might not go to them, is because you can set up a camp and there's issues with that as well, but it's better than having to lug your stuff around across the city all day.
Yeah. And you mention in your article the number of camps that have been swept in November. Would you talk a little bit about the frequency of the sweeps and also the aspect of the police being in camps more frequently and how that affects unhoused people?
Compared to last November, there was not a notable increase in sweeps, which I was kind of surprised by. But I think there's a lot of reasons for that. The city uses like a bunch of criteria to determine when to sweep camps. So there's a lot that goes into it, but one factor that might affect it is there's a contract that the city had with the Oregon Department of Transportation to clean out camps that might be like by a freeway or some sort of property that's owned by the department. That contract ended in June because some listeners might recall, there was a lot of drama around the department's budget. The legislature just couldn't figure out how to fund it. And so they just ended that contract just for that uncertainty. So that could have something to do with it. But we do know now that there's enough shelter, there are open shelter beds. The city has a freer hand to go into these camps and start enforcing it. So police have, or other authorities have an impetus to go into these camps and say, you need to move along because there's shelter beds open. There have been not a whole lot of people cited under the ban, and very few people have gone to jail over it. And like the mayor says, that's not going to help anything. That's not criminalized. We can't arrest our way out of the problem. He used a phrase to that effect. And law enforcement have also said that they don't want to just start, you know, prosecuting people for sleeping outside. And they want to kind of use it to nudge people towards engaging in services or going to a shelter or just doing something different. However, it is, and what the mayor says is they have found quite a few people on open warrants while doing this. And they haven't given a whole lot of detail about just what these open warrants involve. The mayor has said that people have been arrested on open warrants for fairly serious things like being an unregistered sex offender or felony drug possession or gun possession. But they haven't released data on like just what, if these are just low level you know, like open warrants. So we don't really, there are some pretty serious things in there, but we don't really have a full picture about what these open warrants are about. And I talked to a public defender about this, and he was saying that a lot of open warrants usually aren't for really serious things. Like if it's really, really serious, they're just going to arrest you. They're not going to have you out on an open warrant. And if you're living outside, your life is probably pretty chaotic, and it's hard to remember things like court dates and to get yourself down to court. And if you miss a court date, there's just not a lot of ways to remedy that except for being arrested. So that is the other side to this.
Yeah, thanks for that. And then sort of coming back to the shelter beds debate, I forgot to touch on this before. There's a lot of city councilors who are sort of speaking out about the effectiveness of shelter beds. Could you tell me a little more about this?
Yes. Yeah, so there have been some criticisms of the mayor's strategy from some members of city council. From the progressive bloc, it's mostly where that's coming from, called Peacock. I think it's worth noting that the city council did approve the mayor's shelter plan. After he was elected, they did vote for that. But now they're really, a lot of them are starting to sour on it, like some of the more progressive members of council. Like Angelita Murillo, she was saying that like she still sees unsheltered homelessness, which I think if you live in Portland, you've probably seen it. And she's really just wondering if this is just gives the city a free hand to just kind of move people from public view to not actually end their homelessness, but just have a free hand to just move people around the city. And Jamie Dunphy, who's another city councilor, he had a Blue Sky post in November saying that the mayor's strategy was just forcing the problem into neighborhoods that are already suffering. So that's out there, that it's just not actually solving the problem, and it's just moving people around. And it's also worth noting that even with all these new shelter beds, which is a lot that he did create pretty quickly, there's still like the city, I think people forget this, is that Multnomah County is seeing more people become homeless than exit homelessness. Like that is just, we're just producing more people who are without homes and with homes. And there, the county data shows there's about 7,400 unsheltered people. So even if you got this 1,500 shelter beds, it's still not enough for all those people. So the mayor says that he's going to move towards housing production now, which is widely agreed that that's what's really needed. But there has been questions about just like, what is this plan accomplishing?
As you outline in your article, there are other successful ways of getting people housed that exist. Could you tell me a little bit more about, it's just over 2,500 people, right, that were housed and mm-hmm. the means that they were housed through?
Yes, so I think we forget, and I think it's worth noting that Oregon and the city, that we've underbuilt housing for like over a decade now. So there is a real housing shortage. And when you have, fewer units of housing, you have higher rents. If you have higher rents, you have, a lower vacancy number. And there's been, academic research showing that is really what contributes to homelessness. But I think it is worth noting that as the mayor is doing this, there's another plan for homelessness that I think people have kind of forgotten about. It's kind of been in the background. So in 2020, some listeners might remember that there was a ballot measure to create the supportive housing services tax. And that was, it's basically a tax on high earners, people with high incomes. And it generates this pot of money that's managed by Metro, which is the regional government. And it goes to the counties under Metro's jurisdiction. And that they use that for a lot of housing programs. And so that's been going on in the background while the mayor of Portland has been implementing his plan. And a week before the deadline, some reports came out. All three counties, Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington, put out reports showing what they've done with that money. And it shows that it doesn't have any, like some of the successes in it don't have anything to do with shelters. It's about, so according to Multnomah County's report, it shows that 2,599 people left homelessness for the 2025 fiscal year. And using money from the support of housing services tax. And so about a half of those were supported with rapid rehousing. And the whole idea with that is if somebody loses their housing for whatever reason, you want to get them back in housing as fast as you can, because once somebody is homeless, it gets harder and harder to get them out of homelessness. So that money will just like give somebody a short-term subsidy to get them back into housing. And that's been shown to be effective. And the other half of it went to a different group, went to permanent supportive housing. And what that is that's housing for people with who've been chronically homeless or have some sort of severe disability, and where they just are really have a lot of issues. They just need a lot of support and a lot of help to live successfully on their own in an apartment. It includes wraparound services, which just means that's like a nonprofit. People from a nonprofit might come by and help somebody with whatever they need. And that might be, you know, taking them to medical appointments or making sure they take their medications or just even keeping their apartment clean. Just so they have this level of support that they need to stay housed. So that report shows that has been pretty successful. And I talked to the director of Multnomah County's homelessness services, Anna Plum, and she was saying that yes, there's also shelters are part of the mix as well. And there's a bunch of different shelters that are funded by the city and the county, and they come in a lot of different forms. And I asked her what role should shelters have, and she said that they should really be a stepping stone for people to get into permanent housing. And she said the problem we're having right now is that it's such a constrained resource in the region. So that's why there's been so much focus, at least from what I see, that's why there's been so much focus on shelters, is because they're quite a bit easier to stand up, which the mayor has shown, as opposed to getting permanent housing built, which is a lot harder. And permanent supportive housing that's also fairly resource intensive as well. Like you need to have subsidized housing plus services for somebody to meet somebody's needs to stay housed.
You've been listening to an interview with Street Roots correspondent Jake Thomas about his recent article, Out of Sight: Critics Question Whether Mayor Keith Wilson's Homelessness Plan Just Moves People Around While Shelter Beds Remain Empty. For X-Ray FM, I'm Hannah Francis.